Welcome to Choice Tunes. Do you know what that's all about? We invite somebody in that's involved in the community. We learn a bit about their life and what brings them to this point in their life, and also the music that's had an influence or bring back great memories. Now, the person I'm about to introduce, you've heard with me occasionally on Community Connections, because she's our local Queensland fruit fly specialist for the Yarra Valley. And I'd like to introduce Bronwyn Cole. How are you, Bronwyn?
I'm good, thank you, Alan. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Now, let's start way, way back. Where were you born, Bronwyn?
I was born in Lilydale, in the Lilydale Bush Nursing Hospital.
Well, you haven't moved very far.
Well, so, I've come a long way, but I haven't moved far.
So did you spend all your sort of growing up time in Lilydale, or where?
No, we're on the family farm on the orchard in Wonga Park, which is where my father's family had settled.
Yep.
And in my primary school years, we moved out to Coldstream, or Yering, in fact.
Onto another farm? Or?
Onto another orchard out there. Yep. And a lot of people know myself and my family as they've driven along the Maroondah Highway, and it's easiest to say, you know, between Domaine Chandon and St Hubert's Winery, we're smack bang in the middle of
You're in the middle of there. So what sort of farm was it?
It's an orchard.
Have they all been orchards?
All orchardists.
All right. So, obviously, where did you say the first one was?
In Wonga Park.
Wonga Park. There wouldn't be many orchards left out there anymore, would there?
No. It's all glamified or glorified housing.
Yep. All right. So, we won't worry too much about your schooling. So, what was your first part-time job?
The orchard.
Was it?
Yeah, picking and packing fruit and all the jobs that Mum and Dad didn't want to do.
This is with the school holidays and
After work, we're always driving tractors, helping the fruit being picked, blowing out the irrigation lines at the start of the summer, making sure that all the trees are going to get water. Anything that Dad could get us to do, we were doing.
You did.
But we got paid for our time and helped us to be independent and spend our money as we saw fit.
Sounds good. So I guess I'm going to get the answer that I'm probably anticipating. So what was your first full-time job?
Working as the Queensland Fruit Fly Coordinator.
Was it?
So I've had part-time jobs in between there. I waitressed around at Almaz of Yarra Glen as a uni student.
Yep.
And then pretty much at the finish of uni, I went straight into working with my husband's family on the tree nursery.
So growing the trees or...?
Yeah, growing the trees for the orchardists and for the retail nurseries.
Right.
And from there, I went in to have three kids.
Let's just go back one little step. We've jumped a bit there. So your job, you didn't have necessarily a full-time job until you met your husband and you started...
Worked between the orchard and the nursery in that time, but then went straight into having kids.
So where did you meet your husband?
Through a local friend.
That seems to happen often.
Yeah.
And so was he in the orchard business as well, or...?
They're all involved in horticulture.
Right, so you've all been really involved in
that. Yeah, that's a common understanding between a lot of farmers is, you know, you understand the seasons and you're very tolerant of those expectations of working on the land.
Right.
And I guess I had that upbringing.
Right, so then your next major venture, apart from working with your husband for a number of years, so then you had children.
Yeah, that's a 10-year full-time occupation, isn't it?
I bet it is. and you've had three.
Yeah, three.
Gee, you're lucky to have got it all over in 10 years because I thought it was ongoing.
It's not all over.
No, it's not ever.
Someone said to me once that a teenage child is no different to a baby. They still get you up at 1 o'clock in the morning. Yep. They just need different things.
And it doesn't matter whether they're 35, they're still...
Oh, don't tell me this.
Yeah, I can tell you.
My eldest is 19, and I would like to say that I'm working hard on teaching them to be independent, but I never want them to move out of home.
No, and well, they're not going to if mum makes it too easy either, are they?
I try not to, but...
And there's all the hassles that once I get I don't know what stage the 18-year-old, 19-year-old is, but then there's the romances that go well and go bad and all that down the track. So.
Oh, my fingers are crossed for this one. He's picked a nice one at the moment.
I hope it keeps going. Righto, Linda Ronstadt, A Blue Bayou. Why did you pick that one?
My dad's a huge fan of Linda Ronstadt, and on the orchard we used to travel into the Footscray Market and back on the school holidays with Dad.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a treat, getting
in
up
truck.
At 2
yep.
o'clock in the morning
yep.
and freezing your butt off, sitting in between the cold fruit around. And Dad would often buy us breakfast in at the market. And then we'd drive home, and we'd be home by 8 or 9 o'clock. But most of the time on the way home, we were sent, from my mum's opinion, to keep your father away. And so we would belt out Linda Ronstadt tunes.
So back in those days at the fruit market, did your father actually have to have a stall and sell his own fruit? Or
yes.
did you didn't wholesale it like they often do now?
No, it was very much a lot of the growers had their own stall. They packed their fruit up for market once yep. or twice a week. The greengrocers would come in and select their fruit or yep. pre-order it. And then 5 o'clock, the sirens go off. It's the buying siren. You're allowed to then go and buy and pick up.
Up till then, you weren't allowed to sell.
No trade before 5 a.m. But you yep. could negotiate and shop around. But yep. then the trading siren started. And that's when all the action happened. And then we'd drive home
all right,
for a full day's work.
Let's listen to Linda Ronstadt.
I feel so bad, I got a worried mind. I'm so lonesome all the time. Since I left my baby behind on Blue Bayou. Saving nickels, saving dimes, working till the sun don't shine, looking forward to happier times on Blue Bayou.
Thank you. me Bronwyn Cole, and we're talking about her life and the music that's been part of her life as she grew up. So what made your husband, I presume that the two of you started this tree farm, or was he already in that when you met him?
That tree nursery is part of his family dynasty.
Oh,
right. So he worked for his dad.
So once you married, you became part of the trees.
Well, I did my bit.
No, but I mean, you worked in the business with him, though. It wasn't...
No, I just did what I was asked and filled in where the business needed me to fill in.
Well, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, so obviously one of the questions I've got to ask you, and I ask everyone, what was the first car you bought?
It was a Mitsubishi Colt.
And it was the little Colt.
All that I could afford.
Yep.
I might have had a good part-time job or two, but I spent money on things other than saving for a car. So by the time it got me to go to uni, I was like, oh, I don't really have enough to buy what's out there. So I had this beaten-up old Colt, but it was... Got the farm mechanic to fix it up, and it was safe and secure, and it lasted a few months before I rolled it.
Oh, gee, you were lucky. All right, so when you were... You said you spent money on other things. What was the things that really excited you? Because a lot of people save for the car. What excited you to spend money on prior to the car?
It was probably too many lollies and chocolates.
Well, that is...
The other thing we did was I didn't mind parting with money to go and see the one-day cricket then at the MCG.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd go in with a friend or three, and we'd spend the day in there and learn how the other half live.
Sounds good to me. All right, Eva Cassidy and Fever, why have you picked that one?
So I went to a small primary school close to us, was Yering Primary
yep.
School.
Yep.
And I found another family there. So... We'd come from Wonga Park Primary School where there was, even though that was a small school,
right.
We were just one of the crowd. But when we got to where we lived in on the Maroondah Highway there, the closest school was Yering.
Yep.
And there was like 16 people between grades 3 and 6, so it was a small school.
Small school,
but
yeah.
It was just like having heaps of brothers and sisters. We're all friends.
Yep.
And one of the best parts about Yering is that they often had incursions, or we'd team up with other schools to
do
stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And one of the things that we did was that they had a dance instructor or a choreographer. I don't exactly know what they were.
Yeah.
But we were taught this dance, and I have no reason why we just did it, but it was loads of fun. Everyone was involved, and you get those good feelings from having done a bit of exercise, and
yep.
I wouldn't know a dance move if you showed me one, to be honest.
Yeah.
I've got absolutely no imagination on the dance floor, so this was choreographed. Followed it step by step and got to experience the fun of dance, which is not something that we did at home. So really enjoyed that part of our primary school.
Let's listen to it. I've got to ask you, first of all, pardon me, out of that little school, are you still all friends, or have you all just gone various ways?
We've all gone various ways. We did catch up only a couple of years ago, which was loads of fun. Hadn't seen each other for 20 more years.
Yep.
And we just kicked off where we left off. It was fantastic.
Terrific. Let's listen to Eva Cassidy and Fever.
Never know how much I love you.
Welcome back to Choice Tunes. I have with me Bronwyn Cole, and we're talking about her life and also about the music that's had an influence on her life. Now, Bronwyn, how we know you at Yarra Valley FM, and the listeners will know you're the fruit fly coordinator for the Queensland, or the regional coordinator for the Queensland fruit fly. So let's go back a little stage. You're married, you've got children. What made you decide you wanted to get involved with the fruit fly?
It chose me.
It chose you?
Yeah.
But it didn't come knocking on and say, here I am, how did this all happen?
Oh, no, it did come, it came, here I am. So I've got trade in agricultural science. I've got my degree at Deakey,
yep.
Which is, in the end, by the time I finished, was a Melbourne University degree.
Yep.
And I had experience, obviously, with the fruit growing and with the nursery industry and working with farmers.
Yep.
And this project was designed by Agriculture Victoria, and they wanted a local person, someone that had understood horticulture and the people.
Let me just ask you before we just gloss over that. At that stage, did you realise what a problem that the Queensland fruit fly was?
Not at all.
Right. Yep.
I remember taking fruit with us from our orchard
yep.
to visit friends in Hay. And so we'd drive through the fruit fly exclusion zone.
Right.
And I couldn't understand what was going on. And I said to Dad, what's that? And he goes, oh, it's for the fruit fly, whatever. So we'd get to Hay. The fruit was never unpacked or touched. So we were wrong to take it through the exclusion zone.
But
it never got out.
Yep.
So, like, it was never unloaded in that zone. So by the time we were on the other side, it didn't matter. So I remember going and asking my grandpa, who was on the orchard, what's this fruit fly? And he goes, you don't need to worry about that. Too cold down here. I'm like, but what is it? And he goes, nah, just, it doesn't matter. It won't live down here.
Yeah.
And so I recall that conversation from when I was a little tacker.
Yep.
But by the time I was interviewed for this position as the fruit fly coordinator down here, I'm like, my grandfather told me it'd be too cold down here. Well, he was wrong, wasn't he?
All right. John Williamson, True Blue. We know John Williamson. Why'd you pick him?
Another one of my dad's favourites. So I put these songs together and didn't realise how much dad's influenced my musical choices. But we used to listen to John Williamson, and then it was a friend in high school also appreciated it. We didn't know each other appreciated this song until year 12.
Way to go. Let's play.
Hey, True Blue, don't say you've gone. Say you've knocked off for a smoker and you'll be back later on. Hey, True Blue. Hey, True Blue. Give it to me straight. Face to face. Are you really disappearing? Just another dying race. Hey, True Blue. True Blue. Is it me and you? Is it Mom and Dad? Is it a cockatoo? Is it standing by your mate when he's in a fight? Or just Vegemite? True Blue, I'm asking you. Hey, True Blue, can you bear the load? Will you tie it up with wire just to keep the show on the road? Hey, True Blue. Hey, True Blue. Now, be fair, Dinkum. Is your heart still there? if they sell us out like sponge cake? Do you really care, hey, true blue? True blue, is it me and you? Is it mom and dad? Is it a cockatoo? Is it standing by your mate when she's in a fight? Or just Vegemite? True blue, I'm asking you. Is it mom and dad? Is it a cockatoo? Is it standing by your mate when he's in a fight? Or just Vegemite? True
Bronwyn, I guess when you first took this job, you knew quite a bit about the Queensland fruit fly. Otherwise, you wouldn't have applied for the job and you wouldn't have got it.
Have you learned? I didn't know much about the fruit fly at all. I learned that on the job.
That was going to be my next question.
I knew about farming. I knew about horticulture. I knew about the importance of it. And it was about learning about the project and what the project asked me to deliver. And as part of that, I naturally became very interested in that technical, scientific side of managing fruit fly.
So you've learned a lot about fruit fly, which you didn't know when you first started the job.
100% of my fruit fly awareness has come from learning on the job. And that's the science degree. We did applied science. It's about taking the science and explaining it to the layperson and taking what the layperson's importances and values are and taking that back to the science.
I forget what I was going to say now, but certainly it's been a learning curve for you. And obviously because it's called the Queensland fruit fly, it started in Queensland and obviously stayed there for many years. Did it go into New South Wales or did it skip New South Wales into Victoria? And if not, how big did it get into New South before it skipped down into Victoria?
A book I read once is called Of Peaches and Maggots. And a friend gave
great
it,
title,
a friend
yeah.
put it onto me. And it's about the history of fruit fly, Queensland fruit fly in Australia.
Yep.
And there was fruit fly or peach maggot found in Queensland and in New South Wales. And the story says that they were found almost simultaneously. There was a bit of a war as to which state would call it theirs and therefore
No one wanted to own it.
But obviously, New South Wales won because it was called the Queensland fruit fly after that, and there's been trade embargoes ever since. But at the end of the day, Queensland fruit fly has migrated down the east coast, and there's been several changes to our environment that has allowed that to happen.
So,
and now it's come through into Victoria.
How long was it in Queensland and Sydney before it was discovered in Victoria?
Oh, over 100 years ago. It was up in that subtropical area of Queensland.
So we kept it out for about 100 years?
Yes.
Terrific.
So as irrigated horticulture has increased and as the climate change has allowed for more suitable conditions for it to breed down here, there's also, we've lost a lot of chemistry. It's a very harsh chemistry taken off the market, so it means there's more fruit fly surviving. And there's more transport and more people. So that means the fruit fly has more ways of moving.
Maybe. John Farnham, Chain Reaction.
It's my first cassette.
Let's listen to it.
One shot in the revolution. One drop from a poison pen. One fruit too small and bitter. One tree too proud to bend. One man to start.
took some time just to bring me in. Nobody's gonna put me down. Do I make myself clear? One shot in a revolution. One drop from a poison pen. One fruit too small and bitter. One tree too proud of it. One man to stop the trouble. One kiss to see your face. One kiss that needs some action.
Brondon Cole, and she's the Queensland Fruit Fly Regional Coordinator, and we're talking about her life and the music that's played a part in her life. Lee Kernaghan, High Country. Well, I guess I can guess that, but you tell me why.
This is the influence a lot of my friends that I made at Dookie. I didn't know about country music before I went to Dookie, but I found my mob, and this is where I was happiest.
Let's listen to it.
Pack your bags, grab your old blue jeans. We're gonna go fishing in a mountain stream. I know a little shack way up in the hills, 25 miles from Harrietville, in the high country. You should see all the stars up there. They shine so bright through the cold night air. I'm gonna build you a fire that'll burn real hot, and I'll stay with you at the old camp hut in the high country. I've got my four-wheel drive and I'm ready to roll. I wanna go flying up an old dirt road. Brumbies roam, this land must surely be God's own in the high country, in the high country, yeah. In the drought of 1882, the Madisons brought the cattle through. From Mountain Creek to the staircase spur, we'll follow the tracks where they push the herd. Where I wanna be, walking with you by a mountain stream. High country, that's where I wanna go.
Got my bags packed, I'm ready to roll.
This might be an unfair question, but have you got any idea what the cost of fruit fly has been to the Yarra Valley?
It's not an unfair question. It's very hard to answer because you could talk about the cost of just the fruit that the fruit fly have damaged.
Yep.
But you could also talk about the cost to all of the good bugs in the orchard system, so all of the beneficial bugs.
That they've taken out.
No, it's the sprays that can control fruit fly, if they're applied, kill all the good bugs. So that's a cost.
Yep.
And then the other cost is you can't necessarily reach your fruit fly free markets because there's fruit fly in the area.
Yep.
And that was a premium market. So then you get this glut of fruit that could all end up on the eastern seaboard, which is not a protected market. And so you could have potentially less price for your product because it's flooded, because everyone's got, say, strawberries or raspberries or peaches or whatever. So it's really hard to calculate the cost.
But it's big.
Of fruit fly. It's so significant and disruptive. There's been million-dollar studies to work out what the cost of fruit fly is, but I honestly don't think any of those big things have actually found what the cost of it is.
The gambler, Kenny Rogers. You're not a gambler?
I'm not a gambler, but there's a few wise words in this. This was always played at the BNSs that we went to.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness. The boredom overtook us, and he began to speak. He said, "Son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces and knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind my saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice." So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bombed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Said, "If you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done." Every gambler knows that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away, knowing what to keep, 'cause every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser, and the
best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep. And when he finished speaking, he turned back toward the window, crushed out a cigarette, faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the deal's done. You got to know when to hold up, when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the deal is done.
Welcome back to Choice Tunes. Bronwyn, this might also be an unfair case because we don't want to talk about people on this show other than you. Is there one case of the fruit fly that you've seen that has been a horror to you?
Yeah. When it was in a commercial crop in one of the farmers here in the Yarra Valley, and that farmer, or that family, has eagerly followed and supported this program since its inception 4 years ago now.
And they were just unlucky.
And they were unlucky. And it hurts because you think you've done everything right.
Yep.
And they had done everything right. They'd listened to the warnings. They'd put fruit fly surveillance in. So I guess it paid off that they were aware of what was going on. And as soon as they noticed it, they called it.
Yep.
They were able to be really cooperative and we worked together to solve the problem and minimise it.
But it still cost them a lot of money.
Not in this particular case, but it's scary that it happens to you and that you've done everything right.
Righto. Tricia Yearwood, thinking about you.
I listen to a lot of Tricia driving to and from uni. And
the old Colt.
Well, by that stage I had a Toyota Corolla with a CD player in it. And we'd put Tricia Yearwood on and no one was offended at my lack of the ability to sing in tune, and Tricia didn't mind singing with me.
Let's listen.
Not quite sure what's going on, but all day through and all night long, I've been thinking about you. I've been thinking about you. In your eyes when you smile that way, the sound of your voice saying my name, I've been thinking about you.
gentlemen, look, before we play the last piece of music, first of all, thank you for being with us. I hope you've enjoyed the experience, looking back on your past life, and some of these songs remind you of Dad, remind you of the childhood, and that's what this show is all about.
It's been fun.
So I hope you've enjoyed it. We'll talk to you again before the end of the year, because we need to be talking about this Queensland fruit fly. The worst thing that could do is that it's no doubt here, but if it just takes off, it's going to ruin the whole place, isn't it?
That's right.
Righto. Garth Brooks, A Call in Baton Rouge. Why did you pick that one?
You can't go anywhere without listening to Garth Brooks.
Yep.
He's up there with John Farnham as appeals to many ages and a very talented person with his singing and how he captures the audience. This is just one that we're listening to on our Stradbroke Island trip with a few of the people that I went with after uni, and it was such a fun trip.
Would have been a wild old trip.
It was a fantastic trip. Bit of a knocked together, but it was fine.
That was your wind up once your uni was over, was it? You didn't take a gap year, you just took
We just did a bender on Stradbroke Island.
And had a really good time.
Yep.
How many of you went?
There's about 9 or 10 of us. A couple of cars, so I went across on the barge and learned what it was like to camp on the beach.
And how long were you gone?
Oh, probably a week, but it was a pretty intense trip up and an intense trip back with a lot of Garth Brooks.
All right, let's listen to him.
A girl in Louisiana, and though I'm out on the highway, my thoughts are still with her. Such a strange combination of a woman and a child. Such a strange situation, stopping every 100 miles, calling Baton Rouge. A replay of last night's events rolled through my mind. Except to see not do a race by sweet red wine. And I see a truck stop sign ahead, so I change lane. I need a cup of coffee and a couple dollars change, calling Baton Rouge. Operator, won't you put me on through? I gotta send my love down to Baton Rouge. Hurry up, won't you put her on the line? I gotta talk to the girl just one more time. I gotta send my